As you have your seats here on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning, I want to thank all of y'all for being here this day. Amen. It's a good time to be in the things of the Lord in this darkened time that we're living in right now. Amen. It's a good time to have the Lord on your side. Amen. Amen. I know that even though I've been delivered, set free 26 years ago, I think I need him when I wake up in the morning more than I did when I was all messed up. Because now I have a lot of responsibilities, and you all are part of my responsibilities. Amen. And so to work with people, I need God's grace, God's mercy, God's wisdom. Amen. And knowing that we can do it. Amen. Everyone can start making their way up and knowing that we can do it. Amen. You got to be convinced that you can do it. And the lie of the enemy is that we can't do it. But I not only was able to do it in Salinas, California, but now being here, I mean, it feels like a minute, but it's been, 20 years now, you know, that I've been here in Milwaukee still doing it, you know. But I believe you need to convince yourself that you can do it also. I'm nobody special. I'm nobody special here this day. I entered the doors with doubt. There was no way it could be done. I understand that part. It was just a no way. It just wasn't going to happen. I was there just by coincidence, by chance. But the first service there, back row of the church, you know, the Lord spoke to me as clear as I'm speaking to you here this day. And now I'm the one doing the speaking. It's a mind blower. And so I'm convinced that the Lord did it for me, he can do it for you. Amen. So the meetings in Mexico are about over. All the pastors are going to come back, and we're going to be having a meeting with Pastor Nick Walker with all the pastors of the Great Lakes region. And there's the international calendar, and then we're going to put the regional calendar. And after we do the regional calendar, there's going to be a little space with us to work with for we can do the local calendar, what we're going to do this new year of 2023. So I'm excited. And how many know if you want different results, you got to do something different? Amen. Just can't keep doing it the same way. If you want different results, you got to start doing things different. And I pray that those things you do different would be in the ways of the Lord so that you can be sure of results coming your way. So one of the many things we're going to do, we just had Pastor Chucky all the way from Africa spoke here. It was a powerful, powerful week. Amen. We had the region here, and it was just a powerful time in the Lord that says we can do it. Seven other churches came that started off like we did that are proves that we can do it. Not just me in Salinas, not just me in Milwaukee or in the region, but the proof of the Lord being able to do it with the people like you and I is now all over the world in over 33 countries of people like you and I. I want you to be convinced here this day that you can do it, that you can do it. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering, amen. So in that, you know, I may say that I'm not worried about the numerical count of the church, but I am. Anybody would want to grow a restaurant. McDonald's wants to grow in business. Anybody does. Any business would, amen. And the pastor wants to grow it too, but I know as long as I have a few good soldiers, amen, it's going to take place. You can't stop a few good soldiers, amen. No matter what comes their way, they're going to keep on marching. And that's why I want to present to you here this day, wondering why these people are standing behind me. They're my backup. Nah, I'm just joking. I'm their backup. But anyhow, we're going to start this new year right after. In 2 weeks, we have the prayer summit where the whole region's coming. And I know that Pastor Nick Walker is going to open it up on Friday night. And on Saturday, we have all-day prayer, and Pastor Felipe out of the city church is going to be preaching, and then I'll be speaking as well on the prayer summit we're going to be having. So that's within 2 weeks, amen? And so right after that, we're going to launch out amen, all the life groups. We have put together 7 life groups. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering, amen. I'm going to launch them out today, amen, and within these next 2 weeks, I'm tweaking it and going back and forth with how we're going to use these life groups, amen. And these ain't people that just started getting it right yesterday. This is the leadership, and usually it's a few leadership, half of the leadership, 3/4 of the leadership that gets involved within the life groups. But this time, I drew the line and said all the leaders need to be involved, amen, to give you the best opportunity to remove excuses for you to get on board with life groups, which are simply Bible studies, times of fellowship at people's houses all through the city. Amen. So I'm real excited. I'm going to start listing them out. And this far end, we have Sister Patricia, and she'll be partnering up with Sister Rose. Hers is going to be, let's give them a good clap offering. Amen. And they're going to have a real unique first-time life group. I've been saved for 26 years that I've ever heard. And it's because Sister Patricia, they got praying lives. They pray every day. They start their morning in prayer. And when you do that, God is going to speak to you. He's going to give you ideas and thoughts. Amen. If you think about her or him long enough, you'll get thoughts how to get to first base, second base, and then you're at third, at second base, and you're stuck. So you got to keep on thinking about her and keep thinking, oh, ooh. And you go to third base, amen, and eventually you get home. Somebody say home. Amen. So when you're thinking of the Lord and you're making that daily appointment, amen, he will be sure to communicate with you. So Sister Patricia, a few years back, lost her son, amen, through an overdose, a heroin overdose. Amen. That should have stopped her in her tracks. She should have left the church running. She should be mad at God and all these things. But the exact opposite happened. It drew her to God. She got closer to God. Amen. So your pain can do one or two things, take you to God or take you further from God. But I believe the word says that he is the physician of physicians. Amen. And if you're in pain and you need something figured out, he's a sure one to run to. So because of that experience, it's never left her, and she wants to have a life group of intercession. It's a intercession life group. An intercession life group, and she's really looking out for the children and all the things the children are having to experience right now. Amen. You could have been raised up in the hood 10, 15 years ago, and it was even though that was tough, it was a Disneyland compared to the way children are being faced with today now, 10 years later. You know, we had it going on getting raised up. When you measure it now, and the point is that we're living in end times right now. And the enemy's going all out because his days are numbered. His days are numbered. And so now he's affecting the kids, innocent kids, coming with every punch, every point of deception that he's able to move with. And so Sister Patricia and Rose want to be able to be in prayer for your children. And Sister Patricia and Rose, amen, they've been around. They've been around, and you can trust giving your child's name to them and say, can you please pray for my child, my son, my daughter, amen? It might be something good. They're about to go to college, or there's just something really bad happened to them. It's going to be a life group of intercession for the children and family, amen? So I'm really waiting to see what the Lord's going to do, because I believe a lot of people are going to start drawing to Patricia and Rose with this unique life group, amen, of intercession for the children right now. You can raise children up on the right side of the tracks right now, doing things the right way, and the enemy's still going to hit. He's still going to hit. Amen. So they're going to be having a life group. But then we got Sonia and Marco. I'll be having a life group. Amen. And theirs will be a co-ed life group where men and women can go. Amen. And then we're going to have Sister Janie's going to have her life group. Amen. Let's give her a good clap offering. Brother Alberto and Isaac are going to be teaming together to have their life group. Amen. Let's give them a good clap offering. And then we have Sister Connie that's been really knocking it out of the park with the life group that she has already. And then we got Sister Anitra, amen, that's up to bat, amen. Let's give Sister Anitra a good clap offering. She'll be having her life group as well. And Kaylee will be assisting her within that life group. And then we're going to have Brother Johnson, amen, running a life group with Brother Jay, amen. Let's give them a clap offering. I want us all to stand here this day, and I want you to stretch your hands towards the leadership that are going to be reaching out in helping your life. When I got saved, I was part of a life group in Salinas. I was in a single ministry life group. It was like a born one, amen. But then I found my rib, and then I went to the marriage life group, amen. It's good. They're going to be reaching out to you guys. There's going to be life groups throughout the week on top of the Wednesday night prayer night, Friday evening service, and the Sunday morning service, going to the streets on top of all the services. I see 7 life groups that are being launched out right now. 7 is God's number for completion. Amen. And I believe it's your time. If you want something different taking place in and through your life in this new year, 2023, you're going to have to get involved. You're going to have to get involved, and you're going to have to attach yourself with all these different leaders here, and then you're going to be able to pick from who you feel more comfortable with, or you can hit 2 life groups a week. Amen. We're all working up here as one team, even though there's 7 life groups. Amen. And that's to not only have people saved when they go to the streets and stuff, but disciples discipled. For discipleship to take place in the church, where you will not just be saved, but you will become transformed through the discipleship that's taking place within the life groups. Let's pray for them. Father, we thank you. We love you. We give you all the glory and all the honor. We come with authority and power here this night for what you have done, the men and the women that you have raised up over the years here, that all started off all messed up, but you convinced them through hope and faith in your love, Lord, that is unconditional, that allow them to eventually stand, and after standing, to stand some more. And here today, Lord, the leadership is ready to serve and to reach out to the members of the church, reach out to those that are still lost and bound within this great city of Milwaukee. We pray for your anointing. We pray for your favor in every person up here, in every home that they will be having that life group, Lord, that there will be an early church explosion as it took place in the early church, and it would transfer to an end time church explosion, Lord Father God, where men and women will come together in unity to be raised up in the way you want it done. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. 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 Let's give them a good clap offering. Y'all may have your seats. Good job. Good job. We got a lineup. We got a lineup. One time they were in a different lineup. Amen. Praise the Lord. As we all take our places here, if anybody has any questions, the flyers are going to be made up for all these life groups, and you can connect with them afterwards. Amen. And after the prayer summit, each one's going to have a day and a time, you know, and a location of where their life group is going to be taking place. Amen? As we get into the word of the Lord here this day, I want to thank all our online viewers as well, that you be blessed as the word of the Lord speaks to you on a very important topic. Being that the prayer summit is 2 weeks away, this place is going to get packed out. It's going to get packed out. Being that it's, I'm going to share next couple of weeks, and whoever preaches on Friday, everything is based on prayer. Having a relationship, a personal relationship with the Lord. Amen. So that's why we're speaking on prayer for the next couple of weeks, so that we can be primed and prepared and ready. So when the prayer summit arrives and it's here, we'll already be in sync and flow with what the Lord is wanting to say and what the Lord is wanting to do. Amen. As we go to the book of Acts, chapter 1, this is the beginning of the early church. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. This is after the resurrection, the death of Christ, and he comes back and he's talking to the disciples and others, amen, and he's giving instructions. Instructions of that day 2,000 years ago are the same instructions for today. The instructions he had for the early church are the same instructions here for the end time church. And the Bible reads, once he was eating with them, he commanded them. He didn't ask them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this time. Whether we're on the mountaintop or somewhere in the valley, we thank you for this moment, Lord. We thank you for your word, and I pray that you open every heart, every mind, Lord, that every man, every woman, young adult, and all viewing online will be able to feel your touch here this Sunday morning. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. So here, Jesus is giving instructions to the disciples and others that were there, amen, to not leave Jerusalem until the gift that the Father had promised comes. So the instruction was not to leave Jerusalem until the gift that the Father promised has come. Amen? In Acts chapter 1, verse 12 and 15, need everybody listening, even if you're not understanding, because over the years you're going to get understanding. I need you to stay very, it's real easy to daze off in your thoughts somewhere. You can be looking at me, but you're somewhere else in another state. Amen? Stay focused, stay focused. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem. They're being obedient to the instructions of Jesus. Amen? Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of half a mile. When they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. Here are the names of those who were present: Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all met together. I need you to listen. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer. Constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. Amen? I want to share 4 points that prayer is able to bring. Real simple points. Nothing is going to be confusing. 4 points that prayer is able to bring your life. Amen? 3 out of the 4 are positive. Verse 14 says, they all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. The first point I want to touch on lightly is prayer brings unity, according to verse 14. When the disciples were coming together along with the mother of Jesus and other women, the brothers of Jesus and others, something took place when all these different people of different backgrounds, and I believe there's different people here this day with different backgrounds. Some grew up on this side of the tracks. Some grew up on this side of the tracks. Some grew up with everything. Some grew up with nothing. Some grew up educated, not educated, big money, no money, hustling, whatever it was. Something took place when all these people of different backgrounds, when they followed the instructions of Jesus and not leaving Jerusalem until the promise of the gift of the Father would come. Amen? When we come together, it brings unity. See, the enemy don't want this. If everybody in the city of Milwaukee that had a little bit of sense would know what we're trying to accomplish here, with any and every type of background, they would all be here right now. Because God created them. And I believe everybody, whether it's in the hood or in the suburb, are wanting the best for this city, are wanting the best for their family members, are wanting the best for one another. But without the coming together in unity, it's hard. And the reason many don't come together in unity, amen, is because of the backgrounds. Or they don't really like that brother or that sister. Really don't like her. But to come together and to create a unity, there's some things we got to get over to cross over. I believe many, everyone here and everybody viewing online is wanting to cross over and doing something great this new year of 2023. But to cross over, there's some things you got to get over in order to assemble yourselves here at church with one another in the time of prayer. Prayer brings unity. Amen. This is what verse 14 says. Why did it bring a unity? Well, it's the word before that. Constantly united in prayer. They didn't come once in a great while, but constantly united in prayer. You do something long enough, you're going to get a breakthrough. Whether it's something negative or something positive. You do something long enough, you're going to learn how to do it. Prayer brings unity. I put here, too many trying to make it alone. Too many trying to make it alone. When the Bible clearly says that we're the many parts that make up the body of Christ. The Bible gives an illustration of our physical body is the same thing as the spiritual body. The Bible says that the finger of my body cannot do what it's called to do if my body just was made up of a finger. It couldn't do what my body's called to do. My finger can't walk. Amen? My finger can't talk. It can't listen. It can't see. So is it with the body of Christ? We need one another. When we come together in unity constantly, amen, God is able to start to use your life to be that hand, that voice, that ear, those eyes, whatever it may be, with the gifts that he has given you. But the Bible says the finger can't do it. The eye can't make it alone by itself. Even if you got 20/20, you need the rest of your body to be able to get from point A to point B. So prayer brings unity. Too many trying to make it alone. Holding on to your plan as if it's working, I put here. Just wanting to be left alone. How many of whenever you go through it or the enemy's hitting or whatever, you get mad with the old lady, the old man, your child, you want to separate. You want to be left alone. Because God is wanting unity. The enemy is wanting disunity. And it's easy to come in unity when everything's going good, but God wants to raise up his body, his sons and daughters, to be able to be in constant unity, even if you're in the fire. Even if you're in the fire. It's when you need it most. It's when you need your brother the most, your sister the most, your pastor the most when you're going through it. I'm available. Just wanting to be left alone. I put here, your comfort zone kills unity. Simple notes, simple notes. What you call as comfort, what you call as being left alone, kills unity. It don't allow you, the Bible says they all, not some, but they all. That's why I got all the leadership involved with the life groups. Two or three probably didn't really like that decision I made. But I'm here to win. I'm here to win the city of Milwaukee over to Jesus. And if we're in, we're in. And there's sometimes I got to make that wartime decision and give the answer for you. Because we're living in end times and we got to get it on. Amen. It's time. The second thing prayer brings is numerical growth. So if we can't get the first one right in meeting together constantly, united in prayer, the numerical growth is not going to take place. If we that know the truth cannot come together in unity, why would we think those that are lost and bound are going to come here constantly united in prayer when we ourselves are not doing it? So verse 14 says, they all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. My second point is prayer brings numerical growth. In this setting here, it was no longer just the disciples. Amen? But verse 15 says, was the verse I really wanted, verse 15. During this time, when about 120 believers were together in one place, Peter stood up and addressed them. During this time, when about 120 believers were together in the one place. Amen? So my second point is prayer brings numerical growth. It wasn't just the disciples no more. But now it went on to the, verse 14 says, to the mother of Jesus, the brothers of Jesus, other women. Amen? In other words, from the disciples, the coming together and unity started bringing forth where the family started coming. In the life of Jesus, his own mother was there, amen, having church with him. Now his own brothers were there. When in the Gospels, they were saying he was full of demons, that he was possessed. When they were talking that he was crazy because of the words he was saying that were hard to believe. But now they're in the book of Acts, the promises of God. And they're together. They're all together. And all of a sudden, a unity starts taking place through constant prayer. A unity started taking place. Jesus didn't give up. His mother showed up. Amen. Then his brothers showed up. Amen. And then a few women showed up. But I believe it started with the disciples constantly coming together that not only brought the unity, but that brought the numerical growth, that brought the family. That brought the family together in the place where at one time only the disciples were at. See, we want to grow this church where the leadership is not just 12, but that it grows to 24 people. Amen. And that's why you coming to church and coming together and locking arms with us and constantly being in prayer will slowly but surely bring a unity. Amen. Slowly but surely, family members will start coming in. Amen. And the church will start to grow not only spiritually, what prayer does, but also numerically when we come in unity, believing for God to do the miracles. Now there's 120 people in there. Amen. And I get blown away. My mom and dad's gone to be with the Lord, but they're not here today. Amen. Grandpa and even Marlene's mother, but it's a mind blower. What started off as crazy, Grandpa coming out here, I'm a wild party man, amen, at 80 years old, and I never knew this side of Grandpa. I thought he was always smiling because he was happy, an old jolly old man like Santa Claus or something, but due to the smoking marijuana all day long, Grandpa? My Lord. So anyhow, I see him now. He's been with us. He reminds us every day. I've been here 4 years, he says. He reminds us. But now his life is slowly but surely changing. He lives in the house of God. Amen. We're no drinking, no smoking, no cussing. Grandpa hasn't even smoked a cigarette in a couple of months now. Over 50 years of smoking, probably more than 50 years. And he says he don't get dizzy no more. He's changing. He used to talk real dirty stuff in front of little Eli. And I used to rebuke him 1,000 times a day. We don't do that here. Well, he's a boy. He's going to grow up. He's going to learn it anyhow. I said, Grandpa, I get it. I get it. He's not ready for it. Okay, Grandpa? This is the way we do it here. And then he would go, oh, I'm just telling you, he's going to do it. So now, years have gone by. He walks in every day watching me pray, watching me read, watching me count. He's always watching. He's always watching. And now I can go into his room, and he'll be in there praying in his room. Now, every time he tells a story, he just goes, He gives Jesus now the props and almost everything now. But it's taken years. But he just sits there in the pew, but he's listening. Then he gives me a few of his Bible says, you got to tell the church that. And sometimes he says, don't tell them that I'm the one that told you. And then there's sometimes he says, and this time you can let them know that who told you. You can let them know I'm the one that told them this. And Marco's been hooking up with Grandpa. Marco and June's both take them all around the world. So I don't know, Marco. June's getting closer. We're hoping Grandpa's going to forget. He's not forgetting, Jack. He has a meeting with Marco every time he sees him. He's got his phone number. June, we're flying to California. We're going to Florida. We're going. And Marco, yeah, Grandpa, we're going. We're going. June's getting close, man. That was a couple of years ago. And then Marlene's mother's here at the altar with her hands up, broken, crying. And I'm like, what? Like, sit down, Grandma. What are you doing? But God's at work right now. I share these things because they're powerful. It don't matter what age you are, or how young you are, or what your background is. God's at work if you allow him to work. He's able to do all things if you allow him to. All he needs is your permission. All he needs is your faith. Because he's able to do all things. And here all of a sudden from the 12, all of a sudden there's 120 people locked arm and united and constantly coming together in prayer in the upper room. I put here, prayer is able to do things we can't do in person. Prayer is able to do things we can't do in prayer. You can be there yelling at your kid all along as you want to, or you can go sit in a room by yourself without saying nothing and just praying to the Lord from your heart about the situation with your child, because the Bible says that there's power in the effective prayer of the righteous man. There's power. When we address the Lord about the problem and he takes care of it instead of us trying to take care of the problem. Prayer, amen, is able to do things we can't do in person. And here at this time, little did the 12 know, little did the mother and the brothers of Jesus and the 120 that were there on that day, little did they know that little count of 120 would one day bring you numerical growth all around the world. Little did they know that they were part of something so great. And there's times we can get bummed out because the church is not packed out. But on that day in the early church, there was only 120 people there. But the promise of the Father was on its way. The promise of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit was on the way. And little did they know, as they were in that upper room, 120, little did they know, they couldn't even think that you and I would be part of the church and added on to that 120 upon that day. That is the power of what prayer is able to do when you constantly come together and we unite. And not what, see, we usually get bummed out because we can't do certain things, and that's the truth. But I want you to snap out of that, because God can do all things. And that's why we pray unto him, not saints, different gods. Little did they know, upon that day in that upper room, and even though Jesus said, wow, man, my mom's here, my brother's now believing me, they said, I was a demon possessed. Little did they know of what the plan of the Father was about to do. You see, this is the way your pastor thinks. I see the place pecked out. But as I believe sometimes we can't peck it out because we're empty instead of being pecked out with Jesus in our lives. We want the church to get pecked out, but are you pecked out in Jesus right now? Do you got the booyah in your life right now to give a drug addict, to give a gang member, to give a prostitute right now to make a difference in their life? There needs to be unity. There needs to be a constant us coming together instead of doing our own thing. See, everybody want to do their own thing. Well, if she wasn't here and he wasn't here, man, I would be blessed by now. But because he's here and she's here, I'm all messed up. There's a rock in my boat. Too many times we want to do our own thing. And we come up with some dumb plans on how it's going to happen. We do some dumb stuff on what we call making it happen. Your plans, how is it tied into the church? How is your thinking tied into the church? How is your thinking tied into the message that's being preached right now? I was tough in the world. I want to be tough for Jesus. Because it's kind of hard to be weak and be tough for Jesus. But being weak or strong is a decision that you got to make. It's where you position yourself that determines whether you're going to stay weak or become strong. Little did the early church know what the plan of the Father was seeing all around the world. Just in one upper room, he saw people praising him and worshiping him all around the world, and even a people like you and I. Man, when I came to Christ, I did not belong in a church. It took a lot of renewing, a lot of hope and faith. I get it. The third thing that prayer brings one life, this is the one out of the four that gets me going. This is the one that gets me going. Amen? And the third thing that prayer brings is opposition. Amen? I'm all good with opposition. That's what makes me. That's what allows me to press in when the opposition hits, because I know Christ is greater than any opposition I'll ever face. And I've been through a lot of major hits that took pastors out, but I'm still here standing, preaching the gospel, because I stay with Jesus. I'm united with Jesus. Jesus, you say you can do it. All right, man, you said you can do it. I'll back it up. I'll do it. Send me. I'll do it. Yeah, but you're going to I'll do it. Prayer brings opposition. It brings inner opposition. You fighting yourself. When God is working in your life, you yourself will fight yourself. And it also brings outer opposition. Those that were close to you were acting cool, all of a sudden acting crazy with you because you're changing the ways of your life. So when we start praying, it not only brings unity or numerical growth, but when we start praying, it will also bring opposition. It will. Not maybe, it will get the attention of the devil. What's her name? She's praying. Praying who? Jesus. I gotta go to her. I gotta get at her. He could care less who you praying with, who you praying for, but when you're praying in Jesus, the devil gonna find out about it. Prayer brings opposition. Doing the right things will bring opposition. A lot of people leave the churches that are doing the right thing. Opposition hits, say, skip that. That church ain't for me. I was better off walking in than I am walking out right now. It's not only when you do things wrong that brings the opposition. even when you do what's right in Christ, it will bring opposition. So you got to expect the opposition. When we're serving the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that changed my life for 26 years. What I'm doing right now is in the power of the Lord. Amen? But it has brought opposition. And the Bible says that we shouldn't be surprised that the devil is attacking. Don't be surprised when the devil attacks. He's obedient to his lies upon your life and my life. I mean, know that the end, we're not the only ones that constantly should come together in unity in prayer, but the devil constantly will come because he's real. He's real. He just don't come when you're making the wrong moves. Even when you're making the right moves, there will be opposition. It's not just doing what is wrong that gets the enemy's attention. 1 Peter 12:19 says, giving you guys army stuff. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 19, I need you to listen as I'm reading. The Bible says, dear friends, don't be surprised. I do too much counseling. Pastor, why did this happen? Why I was doing so good? And it's not my fault. It's not my fault. And we're so conditioned to think that it's got to be our fault for the enemy to attack. Our minds are so conditioned to think that the attack only comes when we're doing bad things. And I've counseled so many people that are doing good. And they're wondering why they're being hit and why they're being attacked of the enemy. They're wondering why this is taking place. Because they're doing what is right. They're doing what is good. They're obedient to the Lord now. They're doing what I'm asking them to do. So the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 4, 12 and 19, dear friends, don't be surprised. You got to know you're going to get hit. I always say it's not hard you can hit, it's how hard of a hit you can take. I'll knock you out right now. No, but can you take a hit? Can you take a hit? It's one thing to take a hit when it's my bad, when you made a bad move, but can you take a hit after a hit for doing the right moves, doing the right things? Can you take a hit after a hit after a hit? This ain't no UFC 3-round fight. Can you take a hit? The Bible says, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through as if something strange were happening to you. So you gotta know, if you're gonna be in Christ and you're gonna get down and you're gonna fight the good fight, you gotta know you're gonna get tagged, you're gonna get hit. That's why constantly coming together in prayer is so important. That's our running. That's our eating right. That's us being in shape. To be able not only to hit the enemy, but to take a hit. Instead, the Bible says, be very glad. Man, this Bible is like backwards. It's almost, when you read the Bible, you got to go like, you got to read it upside down. It's like it's upside down. So when we're being hit and we're going through trials, the Bible says, don't be surprised. And then it goes on, instead, be very glad that these trials, this is heavy reading right here, you got to get it like a soldier, amen? It says, instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ. I want to partner up with Jesus. I've been partnering up with Jesus 26 years, and that's why I'm still here. It's the trials that have kept me in partnership with Jesus. See, without the trials, I don't need him. I don't need him. When people are throwing sucker punches and backstabbing all that, I need him. The Bible says that he goes before us, and it also says that he's our rear guard. In the time and age we're living in right now, amen, I just don't need my path cleared, but I need what's happening behind me being watched by my rear guard called Jesus. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering. Tells us if you're going to be a straight up disciple of the Lord, you got to go through trials. Why are you tripping? And it goes on to say that you're going to take on the sufferings as well. So, but look what they bring. So that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. That day's coming and it's close. We're going to get in line and some are going, pew, and some are going, pew, pew. You know what that means, right? Because some people don't like listening, hearing the pew, word called hell. If you are insulted, how many have been insulted in Christ before for doing the right thing and played it off like you just did not say that? I love you too, brother. I got you. It says, if you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed. And even though I've been hit here in the city of Milwaukee for 20 years and counting, I'm a blessed man. I'm a blessed man here this day. I'm a blessed man. If you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed. Everybody wants to be blessed, but nobody wants to suffer. Nobody wants to get hit for doing what's right. Everybody wants the blessings and the outcome and the results of Jesus in their lives. But then comes the jab from the enemy, and you got a black eye already. You will be blessed, for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. It don't end, guys. I told you that one out of the four was a toughie, amen? But it's the one that makes you, amen, that keeps you. And it goes on to say, if you suffer, however, it must not be for murder. Because we can suffer for doing the wrong things, amen? So that's what the Bible's clearing up right here. Just because you suffer don't mean it's for Christ. If you suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, or prying into other people's affairs. It clears it up right there. But it is no shame to suffer. This is the correct suffering. But it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by his name. I count it a privilege for everything I've gone through to have you here this morning with me is a privilege. To have those that are viewing online right now, it is a privilege to be here in the name of Jesus as a partner of Jesus. There's gangs that belong together. I belong to the gang called Jesus Christ. I am with him. I'm a co-labor worker of Jesus. And he hasn't been defeated yet, and he'll never be defeated. They took him out. They took him out at the cross. They put him in the tomb. But on the third day, amen. But on the third day, because he was in obedience for doing good, amen, the Father raised him up from the dead. My life has been raised from the dead over and over and over. Your life has been raised from the dead over and over and over. Who you think kept you alive? The devil? It was the plan of God that has kept you alive, the plan of God. The devil's been trying to take you out, but the plan of God is greater in your life. The plan of God is greater than the work of the enemy. Don't be surprised when you're under attack. Prayer dresses you up in the full armor of God for battle. And the last point, it's a good one, amen? We got past the one out of the four there. That one got me sweating, amen? Always does. I like it. You know how some people don't sweat? Because they get tagged, they get hit once and they run. That's why they never sweat. But if you stay in that ring, baby, and you stay duking it out, you're going to start to sweat. You're going to start to... The Bible says Jesus was duking it out with the devil in the garden. He started sweating drops of blood. Some of you need to work out. Some of you need to stay in the ring a little bit longer to get some results. That's why it's real important to know God's word. It's backwards if you try to understand it in the natural. And that's why that first prayer, there's got to be prayer. There's got to be prayer. And the last one, getting ready to close. I'm going to open up with the first verse I opened up, Acts 2, 1 and 4. And the Bible reads, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Here's that. Jesus told them, he gave them the command to wait in Jerusalem, amen, until the promise and the gift of the Father was given, amen. So they're praying, they're together, amen. The other day, probably nothing looked like nothing was going on, even though Jesus' mother was there, even though his brothers were there. It looked like nothing was going on. Maybe this week in your time of prayer, it looks like Jesus ain't moving. It looks like he ain't hearing you. But if you stay with it, amen, the Bible says suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house. What house did it fill? The house where they were praying. Up, go back. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the promise. Why Jesus says that you go to the house and you wait there in Jerusalem until the gift of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father, is given. Amen? It's taking place now. It's taking place because they followed the instructions of remaining in Jerusalem, being in unity prayer. Amen? And the numerical growth started coming, and then the opposition came. But then the promise that was spoken by Jesus, the command given to, it came to pass. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Let's go to Acts 1, 4, 5. And this is what I opened up. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. That's fine. Prayer, the fourth point is prayer brings the promises of God to pass. Prayer brings the promises of God to pass. If God has promised you something and you ain't praying, prayer brings the promises of God, not your promises, not her promises. There's some sisters right now, and there's some viewing online waiting for the promises that are coming from a prison cell. That when they get out, just send the 20 and I love you plenty when I get out. I promise I'll never, ever do anything wrong to promises of human beings. But this was the promise of the Father, given to his son, given to the disciples, the 120. And all of a sudden, They were up there one day and boom, the power of God comes down. John was baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. One of the greatest gifts given by God besides salvation is the gift of the promise of the Holy Spirit. You cannot duke it with the enemy without the promise of the Holy Spirit in your life, activated within your life. I have a question here in closing. What promises has God already brought to pass in your life? Was there a time when you were praying and God was speaking and He did this and He did this and He did this, but opposition came? Whatever the opposition was that allowed you no longer to be praying. What promises has God already brought to pass in your life? And what promises are yet to come to pass in your life? Amen? Prayer. Your pastor studies, your pastor comes prayed up. Because I don't want to be given a Bible study. I want the promise of the Father to still come to those that have not received the gift of the power of the Holy Spirit. You got to know that we're living in end times right now and things are bad, not only for our lives, but for those that we love. And sometimes we feel like we're powerless to change things that are happening in our life. Sometimes we feel that we're powerless to change something in somebody else's life we love and care about. And that's where prayer intervenes. That's when you leave it to the Father instead of yourself or that person listening to you. Prayer, man, it's a game changer. Having a relationship with the Father is a game changer. It's a game changer. Why would your pastor 20 years later still be preaching about prayer, reading your word, having a personal relationship with the Lord? Why would I still be preaching? It's almost like the same, because I know it works. It's not just in the word. I know it works. I'm going to challenge you here this day to get back to praying. Get back to reading your word. Put it right in front of you where you wake up, where you can't walk around it, over it, under it. You got to do it. As busy as your day gets, prayer makes things happen. We found out today that it brings unity. We found out it brings numerical growth. We also found out that it brings the opposition. I think that was the best point out of the four. Gives you a reason to pray. And also prayer brings the promises of God to pass as we stand this day. As the worship team makes their way, kindly please. Preaching hard, but I have to. Preaching hard. Time's it's getting short, guys. I love each and every one of y'all. I got to give the black and white. To remove all excuses, all doubt. You can do it. I'm convinced that you can do it. I always, at the end, if I can do it, you can do it. This is like that. We got mafia killers in our ministry all over the world right now that are doing it right now. There's an old Victor Alvarez saying, and we used to say back in the days among the Hispanics, somos pocos pero locos. We're few, but we're crazy. But in Jesus, people, in Jesus, somos pocos pero locos. The Lord's just looking for a few good men. Few good women, few good young adults, because He's the one with the power. He just needs a vehicle that He can operate through, that puts Him first, that believes that He can do all things. We can't do all things, people. We're very limited. On a good day, we're limited. More or less on a bad day, everybody knows we're limited. But on a good day, And the reason God designed us to be very limited was because he wanted us to depend on him. Where our life, our prayers, has a dependency on Jesus. Why should my life, 26 years later, still have a dependency on Jesus through prayer? Two reasons. One reason is, as I pray, it works. Over the 26, has everything I prayed for come to pass? No. Has a lot I prayed for come to pass? Yes, this is part of it. You're part of it. Because prayer works. That's why I stay conditioned to keep coming to the Lord. And if he's answered some, tells me he can answer all. So I continue to pray, to continue to go from glory to glory and being obedient to the call of the Father for my life. See, I got to keep it for my life so he can use me for your life. I got to stay here. As I'm here, I can do this then. But if I don't have it here, I'll be preaching and loving and laying hands just by experience. But there's fresh fire here this day to consume the lies of the enemy that you can't do it. Jesus is able to do all things. I'm going to open up the altars, whatever the song is, love. Just you and the Lord. 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 We have a prayer summit in 2 weeks. I challenge you to start praying. Start praying. Prayer works. Just you and the Lord. Tell him I will answer the call. You have spoken to me.
I will follow you no matter what the cost. I will answer the call.
The Lord is not looking for perfect people, but willing people.
I will answer the call.
Willing people.
Follow Jesus.